Our true crime podcast deals with sensitive issues, including some that little ears shouldn't hear. Listener discretion is advised.
This is Cam.
And I'm Jen.
And you're listening to
Our True Crime Podcast. It's Wednesday.
It is Wednesday. It's also episode 5.
Not episode 5.
Episode 5. Episode.
Episode?
Yeah. It's that opposite of episode.
Awesome.
Episode.
You know, that means we can even try to be on Spotify now. How exciting is that?
Spotify. Woo-hoo. Also wanted to tell everybody to be on the lookout for a little fun thing we're going to have pretty soon. Coming
little
up.
Promo.
Little promo. Little promo.
Giveaway maybe.
Giveaways with an S.
Loves giveaways.
Me.
Free stuff.
Me.
Yeah.
Free.
Pay attention. I guess we'll tell them that next week, right?
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, once we get everything sorted out. And hopefully next week. We have to get it all sorted out and ready to go.
Next week, next year, whichever. Whichever comes first.
Well, we'll work on that today and we'll get it going.
Yes, let's.
Awesome.
So, Jen, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Did you ever throw a party when your parents weren't at home when you were in high school?
Oh, no. Never.
Read between the lines.
Yeah.
What was that, every weekend, give or take?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. Well, I got for you.
I wouldn't say huge parties, but I would have.
Was that because you had no friends? You didn't have any friends?
You were always there, but.
Okay. Big, beautiful girl. Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, I have a rather interesting, if not unbelievable, story.
Yeah. I'm getting to where I believe everything now.
It's crazy, right? Just when you think you haven't seen it or heard it all, something happens.
It's amazing.
All right. I'm going to tell you a little story.
Okay.
About a high school boy.
Gonna give me nightmares?
Probably.
Oh, good.
Not really. You have girls, so you're fine.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, okay. Here we go. You ready?
Yep.
All right. So the date is July 16th, 2011.
Oh, not too long ago.
Not too long ago. So here's a little boy. He's 17. His name's Tyler Hadley.
So he's not that little.
He's not that little. To me, that's still little, but. So Tyler Hadley just wanted to have, you know, have a few friends over. Little party, little soiree. Without any what?
Parents.
It's no fun parental
party
units.
With a parent.
No way, Jose. So we wanted to have as many friends and friends of friends over and not have to answer to anyone. He wanted this to be the party to end all parties. But more importantly, he wanted it to be known he was the guy hosting the party.
Well, considering we're hearing about it now, I'm going to guess it really was the party.
It probably was the party.
The party.
So here we go. You ready? So early that week, Tyler began telling all his friends and acquaintances at his high school, Port St. Lucie High School, located in Florida, that he was going to have a giant throwdown on Saturday night because his parents, Mary Jo and Blake Hadley, were going out of town.
Okay. Seems normal.
Right. Totally. And he's old enough, right? Tyler's friends had a hard time believing that he would dare risk having a party with all of that had been happening in his home lately. Tyler had been getting in a little bit of trouble. His parents were starting to pull the reins in on Tyler, if you will. Tyler had been hanging out with some kids the parents didn't like and dabbling in a few drugs, recreational and some harder stuff, too. Blake and Mary Jo, let's hear a little bit about them. Blake and Mary Jo Hadley moved to Port St. Lucie from Fort Lauderdale 24 years earlier to be closer to Blake's parents, who had retired in the neighboring Stewart. Tyler's parents held steady jobs. They both had pretty good jobs. Blake was an engineer at the St. Lucie Nuclear Power Plant, and Mary Jo worked as an elementary school teacher. Very difficult job.
Oh, I could not imagine being an elementary school teacher.
Port St. Lucie is located in St. Lucie County, Florida. And as of 2015, the city had 179,000, give or take, residents. So it had surpassed Fort Lauderdale in population.
Oh, wow.
The town had three high schools, so that should kind of tell you that it's
a big town.
It's big, but it's not, you know, it's not a sprawling metropolis. Three high schools in the area, the Port St. Lucie High School, St. Lucie West Centennial High School, and Treasure Coast High School. So Tyler had an older brother named Ryan, and Ryan had recently left the home for North Carolina to attend college. They had two dogs that they adored, a black lab named Sophie, and a little beagle that was pretty blind and pretty old.
Aww, I do like the name Hadley, though.
The last name?
Yeah.
Yes, you do. Tyler had always seemed close to his parents. As a boy, he would wait up late into the evenings for his father to return home, like lots of kids do, right, from working the night shift at the power plant. And the father and son would play basketball for hours in the driveway, especially during summer and things like that. Problems soon emerged once Tyler entered high school, which we see a lot. Hormones, things like that.
Kids suck. They really do.
It's tough. Middle school is worse, I swear. So anyway, the hormones, maybe, you know, a little bit of trying to fit in, and or maybe it was something more devious. We don't know. You know, it goes back to what really causes someone to do something. When's their breaking point?
Right.
So Tyler had been quiet, well-behaved boy, but now his behavior was getting a bit more unpredictable and troubled. One of his classmates recalled his unusual personality, and I think it's kind of funny here, saying that once in the middle of a biology class, he started mooing loudly like a cow. Now that I have teenagers, I gotta be honest, I don't think it's that weird. I think that kids would always do that, but whatever.
Was he trying to be funny, I guess?
Yeah, I guess. Kind of, but see, kids do stuff like that all the time.
Stuff, yeah.
So there was more things that I found when I was doing all the research that I would find more questionable, if not bothersome.
Right.
So a neighbor of the Hadleys refused to allow her son to play with Tyler after she caught Tyler, as a younger teen, smoking in a nearby River Park Wildlife Preserve with some other neighborhood boys.
Would that be like stealing cigarettes and going to Friendship Park?
Friendship Garden.
Yeah. Oh, Friendship
Thank
Garden.
You, Shelley. Yes, we did that in third grade. Mm-hmm. That's a whole nother story. And yeah, you heard third grade. It was terrible. And I'm not a smoker today, by the way.
Well, I got caught smoking cigarette butts outside of neighbor's house.
At least I went
out. I was little. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I was in first grade yet.
I'm a terrible person. The mother of the other boy contacted Mary Jo to share her concerns about it and mentioned that she worried not so much about the boy smoking, but about that they might start a fire, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So just like many moms, Mary Jo didn't really want to believe that her son did it, and she claimed that Tyler did not smoke. Well, so the neighbor reiterated that she, in fact, saw him with her own eyes. And then Mary added, quote, well, you know Tyler, end quote. Give me a funny look, Jen.
Yeah,
so
no,
true.
That's,
yeah, we know. So guess what happens? Yep. 2 weeks later, Tyler, along with some other boys, lit the River Park Wildlife Preserve on fire.
Oh, lovely.
The boys had drug an old couch out in the clearing, doused it with gasoline, and lit it on fire. The police department did have to come put out the fire. And the boys got off with only a warning, luckily. Way too old to be doing that, right?
Way too old. Did they get in trouble for that?
Just got a warning. However, we know from our true crime fake degrees that we have that playing with fire can be what? It's a sign of something deeper, often.
Right.
But also, it can just be dumb kids playing with fire.
Amazing. I can't believe that they weren't charged or...
Don't pick it off with the warning.
No. Mm-mm.
So in late April, just 10 weeks before his infamous party, Tyler got into a fight at a friend's house. Tyler was charged with aggravated battery because he had had a juvenile record, having previously been convicted of burglary. He was sentenced to a week at the St. Lucie County Jail. Mm-hmm. And followed by 2 weeks of house arrest.
Ugh.
So Mary Jo confiscated his cell phone, forcing Tyler to rely on Facebook to communicate with his friends. Right? It's rough being a kid.
Really?
Yes.
Just they only took away his cell phone.
Yes.
Okay.
And here is a conversation between Tyler and a friend named Isadora. He was being forced to reply on Facebook to communicate with his friends, which...
This is just a reenactment.
This is a reenactment. Yes, it is.
Poorly reenacted, but reenacted nonetheless.
I'll be playing the role of Tyler.
And I will be Isadora.
Don't text me about drugs.
What happened?
My mom has it because I got arrested on Monday and she's flipping shit. I just got out today.
Oh, shit.
Fucking shit sucked.
You bad kid.
Just kidding. It's a pirate's life for me.
LMAO. WTF are you talking about?
I don't fucking associate with non-pirates.
What?
Okay, I'm done talking with all this nautical nonsense.
Smiley face. You are so silly. What are you doing?
Nothing. Considering suicide.
Why?
Because I want to die, I guess. What other reasons are there?
Are you being serious?
Yes. I do want to die sometimes.
Don't die. Smoke a bowl whenever you're down.
I used to. Now I drink a lot when I'm depressed. It fills the emptiness inside me.
you're quite a character. Tongue sticking out, emojicon, winky face.
Yes, but all my smiles are fake. So, yeah, you can see it's just two kids
immature kids
nonsense talking.
Yeah.
There were still moments, however, that when the old Tyler would emerge, one of Tyler's best friends, Ryan, described Tyler's relationship with his mother as really close. Tyler told Ryan about a recent fight with Mary Jo in which Tyler had told her to shut up. He felt so badly about it, and he apologized immediately. He told his mom that he was sorry for yelling at her. On Mother's Day, Tyler chatted on Facebook with his friend, Mercedes. Tyler told her about the house arrest.
I'm sad. That sucks, dude. Is your mom pissed? Question. LOL.
No, she's disappointed. I feel bad. She was crying.
Aw, did you do anything for her today? It's Mother's Day.
Yeah, me and my brother took her out to eat and whatnot. Ha ha.
Aw, that's so nice. LOL.
LOL. I know. It was a nice day. That's all in caps. So I'm giving you an idea of his maturity level with these texting notes and Facebook notes. Yeah, I mean, he's a young kid.
He was immature.
He was a very young 17-year-old.
Well, his mom coddled him. I mean, just taking away his cell phone and not believing that he was smoking. I mean,
those were cigarettes too.
Right. I mean, if my neighbor came to me and said my kids were doing something, I would automatically believe my neighbor because they're the adult. I mean,
you would be surprised how many adults automatically believe the child. Okay. So in June, just 1 month before the big party, Tyler came home drunk after a night of doing all kinds of stuff. And he, in fact, urinated on one of his friend's bed.
Oh, lovely.
So his mom, Mary Jo, knew something had to be done. So she admitted Tyler to New Horizons. In order to commit him, Mary Jo had invoked the Baker Act, which under the Florida law allows for parents to commit their children if under 18, involuntary psychiatric treatment is the case. Okay.
So she had him committed.
She did have him committed. Okay. And because he was a minor, he
didn't have any rights. Got it.
Correct. The act is only used if it is deemed a substantial likelihood that without intervention, and this is important, the child will cause serious bodily harm to himself or others in the near future. And so if you as a parent can say that about your child, then they have to be admitted and stay there for.
Which is obvious. That this,
we don't know that yet, but yes.
Well, yeah, now we do. I'm sorry, but if you set fire to a couch in a field, if you're 17, you come home drunk and God knows doing what else, I would think that's.
And he was already charged with aggravated battery.
Right.
Right. So Mary Jo had told a coworker that she was only worried that Tyler might hurt himself and not others. Mary Jo was familiar with mental issues as she suffered from depression and wondered if Tyler might be struggling as well. This was not the first time the issue had come up with Tyler. He'd previously received counseling for depression, poor self-esteem, and for an eating disorder, which is totally possible with a male, just less common, right?
Right. Not talked about as much.
No, it's not. So Mary Jo, in fact, had Tyler, and I found this kind of interesting, had Tyler take injections of the human growth hormone, HGH, during his early adolescence because she thought it might boost his confidence. She didn't want him teased in school for being, quote, short and chubby, end quote. It was 2 weeks before the party, however, Mary Jo had told friends that Tyler was, quote, over the hurdle, end quote. She was so happy about Tyler's improvement. She really felt he was back to himself. So now, fast forward to the weekend before the party. Tyler had traveled with his father and grandfather to a family reunion in Georgia. His father, Maurice Hadley, recalls that he didn't see any issues or problems between Tyler and his parents and or his dad, since he was with his dad that weekend. The night before the party, the Hadleys had gone out to dinner as a family. On the way, they stopped at the Circle K where Tyler ran into his friend Cameron. Tyler appeared to be in a good mood. How's your mom and dad doing? Asked Cameron. Oh, he said, they're all right. Cameron mentioned that it was his birthday and he and his girlfriend were going to Benihana's. Tyler said, happy birthday, but then added, come to my house tomorrow. I'm having a party. We'll celebrate. Huh. So this is, you know, the very night before his big party, Friday night. So as the party neared, his friends started to doubt if it would actually occur, and they started to inquire about it.
Now, was that the first time he had ever mentioned that he was having a party?
No, he started telling them a couple weeks ago.
Remember? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
got it.
Kind of just saying a little bit, hey, I think I'm going to have a party pretty soon.
Gotcha.
So as the party neared, his friend started to doubt if it would actually occur and message him. Tyler simply replied, quote, I'm working on it, end quote. At 11:25 a.m. on Saturday morning, July 16th, 2011, so this is the morning of the party, Tyler received a Facebook message from his friend, Antonia. Sup, brah?
Chillin', what you doing tonight?
Trying to have a party at my crib.
Your parents ain't home?
Nope. Well, they're leaving pretty soon.
Want to kind of take a red pen and just like edit,
oh,
mark.
You have no idea, girl. 1:15.
I'm so old. Okay.
You are old. So much older than me, too. Uh-huh. So at 1:15 that same afternoon, okay, so this is like 2 hours later, Tyler posted a message on his Facebook wall. Party at my crib tonight, .. Maybe. So he's advertising a party that he thinks he's going to have, and then he makes certain to put in maybe.
Yeah, that's weird. Okay.
So the maybe was a clear indication that Tyler was all talk and that there'd be no party, or that's what his friends thought. But at 8:15 p.m. that night, Tyler posted another message on Facebook. Party at my house, HMU. Jen, do you know what HMU is?
I do not know what HMU
is. You don't know what HMU is? Mm-hmm. Come on now. Hit me up, brah. Hit me up. Hit me up.
No, sorry.
I'm good in teen talk, people out there.
You are.
If you know me, you know why. So his friends still didn't believe it.
She has the maturity level of a teen.
I do. Duh. So his friends still didn't believe it, so they called him on the phone. Wrong. Kids don't use the phone. They texted. That was my
exactly.
joke. I
yeah.
stuck that in there.
That's
that?
Funny. Yeah.
Because they don't. They really don't
they
use
don't
the phone.
Use phones.
They're scared to death to make phone
talks,
calls.
I know.
Yeah. So anyway, a friend named Ashley messaged. Whoa. What? If your parents come home, Tyler responded, they won't. Trust me.
Hmm.
And so it was on. The party that Tyler wanted to host, the party that he had hoped would give him the reputation he so desired, was about to get started.
Huh. Oh, he's going to get a reputation, that's for sure.
Yeah, he sure is. Cue the music. Dun-dun-dun-dun. So Tyler answered the door wearing a long black t-shirt, black Dickies, and a black Nike Air Force high top sneakers.
Black Dickies? Pants?
Yeah, those are like khakis, you know.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking of the Dickies, you know, that like...
Dickies is the brand, and it's also the Dickie of the t-shirt thing.
The turtleneck?
The fake shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's an important part. The ecstasy he took earlier...
Nice.
Was kicking in and he was rolling. He was anxious and fidgety. His eyes were big and dilated pupils were going to give away a secret. He was playing with his hands and clenching and unclenching them while he tried to remain calm and in control. As if he was worried, he announced to the crowd, I don't want no one smoking inside. It's my parents' house. Kids are so funny, aren't they? Soon the house was full of teens doing what teens do at a parentless party. They were lounging on couches, playing drinking games, eating everything in the house, not caring about the mess they were leaving behind. Empty bottles and cans lined the counters, and cigarettes were being extinguished just where they were smoked.
Nice.
Obviously, you know, they have lots of respect for other people's property.
Well, they're teens. They don't care.
Exactly. Knowing that the party was getting loud and could force neighbors to contact the police, Tyler announced, quote, actually, just stay in the house. You can smoke inside. I don't care, end quote. So obviously he kind of knew
coming to terms
the neighbors. Yeah. People kept asking Tyler where his parents were. Where'd they go? Is he sure that they won't be coming home? Tyler told the kids, but changed the story with several. They went to Orlando. They went to Atlanta. Then the story changed just a bit. They don't live here, Tyler told another one. This is my house.
Oh,
he's 17.
He's 17.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, there are signs there if you looked, but
right.
I guess kids aren't really going to be paying attention to that.
I don't care.
Marky, a friend of Tyler's, had to miss the soiree because he was visiting his grandparents in Chicago.
He's a good boy.
Tyler and Marky had met up to play video games and hung out just 2 weeks prior to this night. And he said that Tyler made a kind of an odd statement, but he said he seemed okay. That Tyler said he, quote, wanted to kill his parents and have a big party after, end quote.
Huh.
Nobody had ever done that before, Tyler said. Throw a huge
so
party with the bodies still in the house. Marky chalked it up to a bad joke because no one ever took Tyler seriously,
right.
Much less teens,
and
right?
It is a bad joke.
And who's going to really kill their parents? And how many times a day do you say, oh, I'm going to kill you or whatever, right? But let's take a look back again. In a Facebook chat with his friend on July 2nd, 2011, that was 2 weeks before the party, Tyler complained that his mother had confiscated his cell phone. So he's talking to somebody and he says, he calls her a name. I'm not going to get into that. And then he says, I'm going to kill her. And then his friend says, oh no, don't do that. You'll go to jail. Or I mean prison, LOL. And Tyler says, oh well. And then has a heart sign.
Good
there.
Kid.
Yeah. Right. Then there was his friend Matthew, who had this exchange with Tyler at 9:40 a.m. on the morning of the party. This one, for some reason, really just kind of bothered me. Teenagers like to encourage others to do things and
right.
annoys me.
To goad them. Yeah.
Yeah. Jen will be Matt. I'll be Tyler.
Did you do it?
No, but I'm gonna.
Bet. You really should now. Do it.
Don't worry. I am. Then I'm having a party.
Yeah. Party time.
Inward. Party was only several hours in, but the place was a mess, obviously. And right. Tyler had just got what he wanted. The party where there were no rules, no parents, and a house full of chaos. People were everywhere. The lab was not around. That was the bigger dog. But the poor little beagle was hiding in fear. Little background on Tyler and his drug use, okay? So Tyler started smoking weed freshman year of high school. And from there, he only got better at doing more drugs and right. expanded his repertoire. No one could really tell if Tyler was acting weird that night because Tyler always kind of acted weird. He was kind of a lanky young man. And, you know, he still hadn't really quite grown into his body as most
teens.
Lanky. Sorry. Oh, okay. Lanky. Sorry. So
I didn't know if that was teen talk.
No, that's not teen talk. That's me not saying it right. So at 12:30 a.m., the party was running out of beer. Tyler asked a young man named Mark, who was 21, and Mark's girlfriend to drive him to get some more beer. Tyler gave him a wad of $20 bills and told Mark to buy four cases of Busch Light.
This was at the party.
12:30 a.m. So he's buying beer for them, right?
There's a 21-year-old at a kid's party. Okay.
Correct.
It's kind of like...
Dazed and Confused?
Yeah, Dazed and Confused. All right, all right, all right.
When Tyler was waiting in the car with Mark's girlfriend, Tyler told her that his dad had died. The girlfriend had assumed, obviously, that his father had passed away a bit ago, especially with the demeanor in which Tyler told her that, right?
Right, so she didn't know him beforehand.
No, no. Okay. And that would be account for the age difference, too. When they got back to the house, the kids were playing drinking games with water because they ran out of beer. Right? How funny is that? And it made me laugh. One boy was walking around.
It's about the games. It's not about the alcohol.
It is. It's not about the alcohol. Nice. One boy was walking around trying to sell some of his weed, and another boy was trying to pawn off some little white pills. Don't know what those were.
And around pill makes you smaller.
That's right. No one makes you bigger. At around 12:45 a.m., a friend named Anthony showed up because he had received a text saying that he was missing the biggest party of the year.
Lord.
Or the biggest party of July of that year. Anthony thanked Tyler for throwing the party and asked how Tyler was doing. And he noted that Tyler seemed pretty calm and collected until a shirtless boy, this made me laugh too, until a shirtless boy began running around with a mailbox.
In the house. Okay, yeah, nice.
So Tyler became very upset and started screaming at the kid. The kid obviously was drunk and started asking him, where did he get that? And he's like, the neighbor. And he says, Tyler says to the boy, don't you know stealing a mailbox is a felony? And if he's going to call this to the police to show up, he's going to be pissed.
Well, he's got some scruples.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He draws the lines at mail fraud.
So Anthony left Tyler to deal with the shirtless mailbox bandit and made his way around the party to see who else was there. Anthony walked up to the master bedroom, turned the knob to enter, and it was locked. He assumed someone was getting lucky with love or lucky with drugs or passed out, right? He did notice a dark stain at the bottom of the door and thought to himself that it kind of looked like paint, like dried paint, which he recalled later.
It's never paint.
It's never paint or a mannequin.
No.
As the party continued, the mess only worsened, as did the smell. It was around 1:15 a.m., and Mark, the 21-year-old, was getting ready to leave. And when I say smell, I mean vomit, cigarettes, cigars, sweaty teenagers.
Yes.
It's July in Florida.
Hormones, yeah.
Gross. So the 21-year-old Mark was getting ready to leave. Tyler approached Mark awkwardly and asked if he could talk to him outside in private. They went outside, and Tyler demanded that all the partygoers go inside because he was afraid the party was going to get raided by the cops. Once everyone was inside, Tyler turned to Mark. Dude, I did some things. I might go to prison. I might go away for life. I don't know, dude. I'm freaking out right now.
So the ecstasy is worn off?
I don't know. Long ecstasy off.
I don't know.
We'll Google that. We're too old. So Mark says, what are you talking about? Tyler, dude, I know you're not going to believe me. No one will believe me. I freaking killed somebody. Mark, dude, you killing somebody is your own business. Don't be telling me that sort of thing. I don't need to know. Mark was left wondering what Tyler meant. And I guess he was like, I don't.
Hopefully he went to authorities.
He was like, I don't want to know about that.
Yeah. Don't ask, don't tell.
So Tyler returned to the house and he ran into a boy named Ricardo, whom he had just met that evening. Ricardo thanked Tyler for the beer and for having him over. Tyler responded.
At least these kids are polite.
Right?
I noticed there's a lot of thank yous.
There is a lot of thank yous.
So that was done right. That was a good parenting
for them. Tyler responded what could only be looked back now as disturbing. I just wanted to do something fun before I left, Tyler said. So he ran into a good friend named Kimberly. He told Kimberly that he was going to be going away for 60 years. Looking at him, you know, puzzled, albeit drunk, I'm sure she was drunk, asked, what are you talking about? And then he said, you'll find out tomorrow.
Wow.
So he's starting to divulge some information at this party.
But guilt is starting to set in, I think.
Right. Or the ecstasy is wearing off,
or
like you said earlier.
Paranoia.
Something.
He should have totally be paranoid.
So here's where we start to see some more. Tyler then went up to one of his good friends named Michael and asked him to come outside. Tyler and Michael had been best friends since they were 8 years old, so they had been really good buddies since they were little. They left the house and took a small walk to the stop sign. Tyler was acting paranoid, looking all around, and Michael thought, well, he's kind of acting weird because he drug him all the way to the stop sign instead of just, you know, in the bathroom like girls do. So Tyler looked at Michael and said, I killed my parents. Michael didn't believe him, but Tyler went on. Michael, I'm being real. I'm not lying to you. If you look closely enough, you can see the signs. He told Michael to look in the driveway.
Okay.
You know what was in the driveway?
The parents' car.
Michael saw a black Toyota Tacoma truck that belonged to Tyler's father, and he saw his mother's red Ford Expedition parked there. Michael began to think to himself, if both cars are here, how did his parents go on vacation?
True.
And I think it's sad that Tyler was like, if you look, there's signs.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of telling to me about other things in his life. Like maybe he had some issues. And if he could see that there were signs, what I'm saying is that the cars represented like that thing. But there had to be other signs bigger that other people could have alerted.
Totally missed. But they're kids and they're not really thinking that.
I'm thinking other people. I'm thinking parents, adults, teachers, whatever. So in shock, obviously, and trying to understand what Tyler was saying, Michael needed more proof. Obviously, they're kids, you know, I don't believe you. So Tyler said, go look inside the garage. Tyler and Michael slipped into the garage, and it is here that Michael would suspect his friend Tyler was, in fact, not a liar, but a killer. He saw a shoe print made out of blood, and now Michael knew things were about to change for the two boys who had been buddies since grade school. I just got goosebumps because they kind of give me the chills. That'd be like if you told me something like that. That's freaky. So Tyler led Michael to the master bedroom. Here's where we see it all. Traces of blood were splattered about the door. Tyler unlocked the door and opened it. Michael looked around and tried to take it all in. There were spots of blood everywhere, some in large circles, some in tiny droplets. There were towels covered in blood stacked in a huge red wet pile. But the biggest shock was about to hit Michael as he looked near the bottom of the pile. His eyes followed the scarlet-covered towels to the floor, and emerging from underneath laid a thick, white human leg.
Lord.
So I guess when Tyler was getting ready for this party, he had also put, knowing that there were going to be a lot of kids over there, he put like all kinds of furniture in there as well. So from the crime scene photos that I looked at, it's a mess. Like you can't even really tell what's what. And so I'm guessing he just cleared out because to play beer pong and
you need a big area.
Spot, right? Mm-hmm. So if you check out our blog, you'll see the spots and you can see some blood and stuff, but it's very hard to detect because like all the dining room tables in there, the chairs are in there, they're stacked. It's a mess. So Tyler told Michael what just happened that day. He says, that afternoon, shortly before 5, Tyler had hid his parents' cell phones so that they couldn't call for help. He listened to Feel Lucky, a song by little rapper Lil Boozy, to psych himself up. He took 3 pills of ecstasy because he worried that he couldn't kill his parents while he was sober. In the garage, he found a claw hammer. Then he returned to the house. As his mother worked on a family computer, Tyler stood behind her. He stood behind the woman who gave birth to him, who gave him life, for a full 5 minutes before he did anything. He then slowly and silently lifted the hammer above and brought it down on Mary Jo's head.
I thought ecstasy was supposed to make you like all lovey and, I don't know.
His mother, in utter disbelief, cried out, "Why? Why?" She kept crying out, "Why?" Tyler's dad, Blake, from hearing all this, wondered what was going on, and he ran out of the bedroom to see his son, screaming, "Why?" He was asking his youngest son, right. "Why? What are you doing?" Tyler responded with, "Why the fuck not?" And continued to repeat this over and over as he swung the claw hammer into his father. Tyler continued with the horrid story, saying, when it was all over, he wrapped towels around his parents' head, dragged them into the master bedroom. The bodies lie side by side, face down, with the hammer in between them. He said it took 3 hours to clean up the blood and gore. And, you know, he was a little bit surprised because he anticipated it would be a lot shorter. He didn't realize it'd take that much time to clean up. So he threw all of the incriminating evidence into the master bedroom. He tried to clean it up as best he could. He then took a shower, and then he admitted to Michael he looked in the mirror at himself and laughed.
Oh, nice.
He was obviously quite proud of what he had done. Michael ran from the room, shutting the door behind him. But guess what? He didn't leave the party. Now, if somebody laid that information on you, don't you think you'd leave the party?
I'd go straight to the police. I'm telling you.
I mean, what is up with these teenagers? Seriously. But not only did he not leave, he stayed for another 45 minutes posing for selfies with people, including Tyler. In one of the photos, it looks like the boys are in the garage. You know, the garage with the bloody footprint. And Tyler's raising up a plastic cup, like a solo cup, with him. Crazy, right?
Kids these days.
So close to 2 a.m., somebody stood up and announced that there was another house party being thrown by a neighbor. It was time to move on to the next big thing, and the kids ran out of Tyler's house, tossing their trash as they ran to their cars. Tyler ran out after them and wanted to know where everyone was going. And, you know, when I was reading this, I could only sense that, you know, this was his big...
This was his big party.
This was his big thing, you know, and people are leaving his party, which means reality is about to smack him in the face.
Right. I think reality had been setting in.
Slowly.
But the fact that this...
just so much to comprehend.
This nirvana that he's created is going to come to a close and...
screeching halt.
Right.
So he ran outside and wanted to know where everybody was going. A boy named Josh rolled down his window and to explain that they're going to another party. Tyler only said, "Oh, okay." When asked later to describe Tyler's expression, Joshua had said, well, it was like he was just like blank face, like he had a blank face on. And I'm guessing that's like what we just said.
The reality
of everything was starting to sit in. The caravan of cars left and went down the street, and they came upon a house, but the house was dark. Nobody was there, but they went ahead and rung the doorbell. Young girl in her PJs answers the door, says there's no party. Just another teen rumor, right? Everybody has a party. So the crowd rushed back to Tyler's house, but the noise had finally begun to be too much for the neighbors to ignore. I mean, it's after 2 a.m. Cars were revving their engines, blasting music. So his neighbor, Rayanne Wallace, got angry with the disturbances and wondered why on earth Tyler's parents would allow this mess to be going on. But it wasn't until some of the boys decided to use her yard as a bathroom that she decided to call police. The Port St. Lucie Police Department arrived at the Hadley residence within minutes. At this point, less than 20 people were left at the party. Tyler told them to hide. He answered the door when officers rang the bell and assured them there was not a party. The cops believed him and left.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yep. Party started again.
How many cars were around?
Not many. There was only like 20 people there. And, you know, back in our day, we'd pile 10 people in a car. So I don't know.
Unreal.
So now it's around
They didn't walk in?
No.
Ever?
Mm-mm. Well, he made them hide and turned off some lights. But still. Come on.
But still.
We know those tricks. So around 2:30 a.m., Tyler's friends began to filter back into the party, to the house. Now, his friend said he started acting a little strange. He kept touching his hair and pacing across the living room floor. He told his friend David that he's going to be having another party the following night because he might be going away for a while.
Oh, Jesus.
So asked if he was going on vacation or moving, Tyler just said with little emotion, "I'm thinking of killing myself."
Oh, God.
Tyler turned the lights off in the front room to avoid any more attention, and then Tyler made himself a sandwich in the dark. Now at 4:40 a.m., Tyler posted another message to Facebook wall. "Party at my house again, HMU." What's HMU, Jen?
Hit me up.
You win the 500 $5 door prize. But the party was about to come to an end. There would be no party the following night, and as a matter of fact, there'd be no more parties for Tyler ever again. Standing right outside the house at the front door were officers Adrian Zamansky and Charles Green, who had been dispatched to 371 Northeast Granger Avenue at 4:32 a.m. You see, Tyler's good friend Michael, upon leaving the party earlier, had called Crime Stoppers hotline and told them everything.
Kudos to him. That's awesome.
Right? Took him a while, though. But okay.
Well, I'm sure he was mulling it over. I'm sure he was worried about
everything. Yeah.
Right.
The officers approached the house, and upon hearing someone talking, Officer Green peered through the front bay window. Green could see Tyler, who was pacing across the living room, talking to himself with a very disturbing look on his face. Green would write in his police report. His eyes were very wide, and he was not blinking. Green noticed that he was taking books off of a bookshelf and taking them to a back bedroom and mumbling to himself. He repeated this a few more times until finally Green knocked on the front door and rang the doorbell. The rest of the lights in the house went off. Then Hadley opened the door. He was wearing the black shirt, black shorts, and his left hand was hidden behind his back. Officer Zamansky drew his gun. He ordered Hadley to put his hands and step out of the house. Put his hands up and step out of the house. The officers checked him for weapons, then ordered him to the ground and handcuffed him. They asked whether any adults were at home. Tyler said no. He seemed frantic, incoherent, and annoyed, and his pupils were very large.
So, back on drugs
again. I'm guessing. Quote, I know I'm going to Rock Road, end quote, he told Officer Green.
What's and this, Rock Road? Is that prison?
This was in reference to the address of the St. Lucie County Jail.
Oh.
So just take me. Leaving Tyler shackled in the driveway, the officers entered the house. You can't go in there, he shouted after them. Don't go in there! The house looked pretty much what you would think it would look like after 60-plus drunk teenagers were in there. It's full of trash with cigars and cigarettes put out anywhere and everywhere.
Just burn it to the ground.
Bottles of beer, empty and full, littered all over the counters and floor. The cops passed through the kitchen and approached the master bedroom. It was locked. The officers noticed streaks of dried blood on the frame and baseboards. They forced the knob. The door opened. The scene was just as Tyler had left it. On the morning after the party, the news of Tyler's arrest spread quickly among the teenagers who had attended the party. Quote, I wasn't upset when I heard, says 16-year-old cheerleader. I wasn't scared or disgusted. It's not like I knew him personally. I was just in awe, end quote. Another said that
well,
when...
Well, she is a cheerleader, so... Well,
I did it in my cheerleader voice, yeah. Sorry. Another said that when he found out about the Hadley murders, he thought, quote, wow, I just went to the party of a lifetime. It's messed up what he did, but 20 years from now, I'll be able to say, I was there. I hate Port St. Lucie, but that's kind of cool, end quote. That's how clueless these kids are.
They have no clue.
They have no idea.
They don't
And they're too old for that.
They are too old for that.
So the funeral service for the Hadleys was attended by nearly 1,000 people in that area. The Sunday morning, this gave me a little goosebump. On the Sunday morning, before her body was found, Mary Jo was supposed to read at the morning mass as she was a dedicated Catholic. Her reading was from the 13th chapter of the 1 Corinthians, stating, love is patient, love is kind, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. That kind of just gave me the, oof, right?
Yeah.
Because you do have an undying love for a child. Doesn't matter.
No matter what they do.
So at the reception following the service, Tyler's older brother, Ryan, had told others that he was going to visit Tyler that very night as he knew that's what his parents would want him to do. They wouldn't want me to abandon him. I don't know what I'm going to say. I'll probably just sit there and cry. Tyler's friends and those that knew him were trying to figure out how all this happened. Was it drugs? Was it girl problems? Was there a big secret that no one knew about? No one had answers. So the most common guess about why all of this would have happened was drugs.
Right.
Markey, the little boy we talked about earlier, Tyler's friend, wrote in a police statement that Tyler drank heavily and smoked pot and popped pills like a madman. And there were a lot of pills. His friend David had mentioned these pills. And for all you listeners out there who are like Jennifer and I and not as cool, we did the legwork for you. So you're welcome. So Tyler did monkeys.
Is a cocaine paste wrapped around tobacco, cigarette.
Beans.
Which is heroin.
Xannies.
Which are Xanax.
Bars.
Bars of Xanax.
It's Xanax in a higher dose, right? French fries.
Which is crack cocaine.
And yellow Xannies.
Which is just a different color Xanax. There's no difference between white and yellow Xanax.
His friend David also stated that Tyler took Percocet and Oxycontin, known among the teens in Port St. Lucie as blues. He also said he did ecstasy, but only once or twice. Now, none of these...
Once or twice that night?
He just said once or twice. I'm guessing as a whole.
As a whole. Okay, so this didn't all happen last night. This is just the drugs he's been known to do.
Correct.
Okay.
They were asking about his drug use.
Gotcha.
But none of these drugs, as you had stated earlier, induce violent behavior. And let's be honest, there's kids that do these all the time and they don't go and kill their parents,
correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the cops searched his home and they found prescription bottles in Tyler's names for hydroxyzine. It's a mild anti-anxiety medication, as well as citalopram.
Citalopram?
Citalopram, an antidepressant that can increase the risk of suicide in adolescents and adults.
But that's Celexa, basically. Yeah. Okay. But honestly, with those drugs, it only increases the risk of doing that if the kid or the adult has the ability.
The issues, anyway.
The issues to want to do that. It just doesn't cause anybody.
It doesn't make you suicidal.
It doesn't make you suicidal. But if you are suicidal to begin with, there's a chance that you will still be suicidal.
But worse.
No, not worse. Oh, just it doesn't solve all your problems.
Got you. So Tyler wrote his grandparents a letter in which he blamed the drugs for what happened. He stated that he wished he would have never started taking that damn pill, in reference to an unnamed psychiatric pill. He never said which pill that was in the letter. In a letter to a friend, Tyler said, quote, "I regret everything I did. I swear it's those drugs, man," end quote. But Tyler had told Michael that he purposely waited for his brother to move out before he killed his parents, showing premeditation. And that was more than 6 weeks earlier. A fellow inmate later testified that Tyler claimed he had begun to plan the murder 3 weeks before it happened. And he said, quote, "You should have come to my party. It was awesome," end quote. That's what he told the inmate. Seriously, no clue.
He just didn't. The consequences aren't real to him.
They're not. And at 17, they should be.
They should be.
I think at 12, they should be. So public defender Diamond Liddy, love that name, Diamond Liddy, had asked the judge for two concurrent 30-year sentences with a case review after 20 years. The state wanted Hadley sentenced to life without the possibility of parole. Because Hadley was only 17 when this occurred, not yet an adult when the killings took place, he could not be sentenced to death. And we know Florida likes to sentence to death, but he could not. He was not eligible for that. So Tyler Hadley was sentenced to two life sentences without the possibility of parole for the grisly clawhammer murder of his parents. Judge Robert R. Maximum noted the crime was brutal, heinous, cruel, and premeditated. He found Hadley was, quote, "dangerously antisocial," end quote.
Just a bit.
He said that Hadley was manipulating the experts and lied about hearing voices. The Hadley house has since been destroyed. It's been demolished.
I think that would be hard to sell.
Here we go with Tyler. Tyler has apparently finally received all that adoration and love that he so wanted with having that famous party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not exactly the location or maybe not even the kind of people that you'd want to attend at your party. But at the St. Lucie County Jail, he's become really popular, or at least he thinks he's popular, right? This was prior to him going away. He bragged to a friend in a letter, quote, "When this shit went down, it went worldwide. I was the second most popular story after the economy," end quote.
Wow.
Can't make this up.
Unreal. Unreal.
Tyler proudly responds to fan letters and signs them Hambro. Ham, like the food ham, and signs autographs for other inmates. You ready? Hammer time or Hammer Boy. What is wrong?
Was he not popular in high school at all?
I seem to think he was. I mean, he kind of was. So anyway, this behavior, of course, is ridiculous. Got him jumped a few times. And the first thing I thought of was Jeffrey Dahmer.
Right.
Who would make the fake limbs and put ketchup on them. He'd make them out of food or whatever and leave them around. And that, you know.
And then eat them. And
yeah, you just cannot do that. In letters from prison, he had sent to friends and family members, particularly his grandparents. Tyler is different. Okay.
Of course he is.
Of course he is. Shall I read these to you?
Mm-hmm.
"I was just living my life as a normal 17-year-old kid,
uh-huh.
And the next thing I know, I'm in the middle of St. Lucie County Jail." I ruined a lot of people's lives, and I can't seem to forgive myself. I find myself crying a lot because of all the guilt. Every day, I beg for forgiveness, and I ask God not to send me to hell. I don't want to go there. Father Michael told me that if I just confess my sins and repent, then God will forgive me for everything. I just can't get rid of all this guilt. It's swallowing me whole. I'm extremely nervous that I'm going to get a life sentence. It's making me pretty depressed. I want to say I'm really sorry for all the grief I've stirred up. I know everyone thinks I'm a psychopath and all, but I really am sorry for everything. I've been praying every day for forgiveness and for a decent plea offer. We already know what he got. I should get one since it's my first offense. I feel extremely bad for Ryan and especially you and my other grandparents for the grief I've caused. I feel like Ryan doesn't love me anymore, but I know he does, and he's just going through a rough time. It's so hard going through this. I'm scared and I feel so alone.
Okay, that's a bunch of bull right there. He's not, I don't think he's remorseful.
I don't think he is either.
I don't really. What? I don't, what, he'd be 24 now?
I looked it up. You know math. Math's hard.
It is.
He was 17 in 2011.
So 23, 24?
23, I believe.
Yeah. Unreal. No, there's no remorse in that.
So here, remember his friend Michael that turned him in, called Crime Stoppers? He wrote him a little letter too.
Oh, good.
So he says he forgave his pal Michael for turning him in and for preventing him from committing suicide.
Oh, okay. Well, he probably would have committed suicide.
But he made sure to point out, but I am in jail because of you.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he told Michael. So here's his letter to Michael. I wish I could throw back some Miller Lights and smoke a fat-ass strawberry white owl, but I gotta say it feels good to be sober. My head is nice and clear. Make sure you drink some Miller for me. Drink yourself stupid like I used to do. I swear to you, Michael, the devil had a hold on me. I talked to him and he talked to me. That's why I seem so crazy toward the end. I'm not a cold-blooded monster like everyone thinks I am. I'm a caring person that made a horrible mistake. You gotta let people know that.
That's unreal. And the strawberry white owl is actually a strawberry flavored cigar.
Yeah, I figured that.
Yeah.
I think he'd put anything illegal in there coming from jail. Maybe he would. I don't know. So, Jen, I just wanted to talk about this a little bit instead of theories because we kind of know what. But what Tyler did is called parricide.
Right.
In the United States, legal system defines parricide as the killing of a close relative, usually a parent. Now, this term also encompasses matricide, which is the killing of a mother, and patricide, which is the killing of one's father. It may be part of a familicide, which is the killing of one's whole family. So, wanted to talk about this a little bit because I thought it was kind of interesting. Parricide is rare, but it's not a new thing. So can you, I have a little, two people here that came to mind. Mm-hmm. You want to take any guesses?
The Menendez brothers.
Thank you. Got that one.
Yeah.
Yep. The Menendez brothers who shot their parents while they were watching TV and then, you know, went and confessed all this to a therapist because they thought that the patient doctor confidentiality protected them.
No.
Oops, it doesn't. And they were sentenced to life with no chance of parole. But who's one of the most famous? It's old. Think old. I'll give you a hint. She took an axe.
Oh, Lizzie Borden.
Gave her mother 40 whacks. Lizzie Borden. She was charged with murdering both of her parents, but then was later acquitted, and no one ever stood for that murder. Parricide represents only 1% of all the homicides in the United States, which I think is, that's tiny, 1%. So I wanted to look into this a little bit just because that's, I'm a nerd and this is what I do. So I looked some background up. In her book, The Phenomenon of Parricide, Dr. Kathleen M. Hyde specializes in juvenile violence and adolescent parricide, says that most offenders are adults and that they are over the age of 18 at the time of the murder. However, 1 in 5 parricides are carried out by offenders under the age of 18. Hyde outlines 3 types of parricide offenders. Now, this is where we're going to talk about Tyler. Okay. Number 1 is the severely abused. Number 2, dangerously antisocial. And number 3, the severely mentally ill. And let me just give you a little background on these so that we kind of know what we're talking about. Severely abused is pretty common sense. The offender commits this act as a way of ending a cycle of abuse. They obviously feel powerless and overwhelmed. Adolescents that kill their parents do it as a last resort. They can't find a way out. Depression is also part in there too. They're feeling trapped. Okay. Number two, dangerously antisocial. These individuals kill parents because they see them as an obstacle to a goal or a desire, such as money or freedom from rules.
Or having a party.
Or having a bad boyfriend or girlfriend that somebody doesn't like. Exactly. These adolescents exhibit antisocial characteristics, such as harming people or animals or destroying property.
Furniture's
in fire in the woods. They may be diagnosed with or exhibit traits of oppositional defiant disorder or antisocial personality disorder, making them much more likely than those in the first category to reoffend. Okay. And then number three is severely mentally ill. Again, that's pretty common sense. They have a history of severe mental illness, such as psychopathy or severe depression. They could experience delusions or hallucinations, which cause them to kill their parents. Compared with adults, adolescents who commit parricide are less likely to show the clinical symptoms of a psychiatric disorder. So in her research, she highlighted the key differences between adolescents that commit this and adults. Adolescents have a higher risk of committing parricide when their home situation is problematic, as they have nowhere to go. They cannot simply leave. They have nowhere to go, no money, no finalized education to fall back on, no way to get a good job, no way to support themselves. She also went on to say that adolescents, obviously their brain, it's still developing. Mm-hmm. They have less life experience, less understanding of their emotions compared to adults, and they don't really think things through their actions. They don't see if I do this, it's going to lead to this.
Right.
They can't weigh out the decisions. Jen, what do you think?
I think he's right where he needs to be.
I totally agree.
I don't want to blame the parents at all mm-hmm. for what happened, but there needed to be some stricter guidelines, don't you think? I mean,
I do, but I think that also, like, he obviously did not comprehend what he was doing.
No.
You know, and I don't think even after he didn't grasp what he did.
And who knows if he does now. I mean, if he's signing Hammer Time and all that.
That just shows the immaturity, though, of trying to fit in, you know?
Right.
And that made me sad of thinking of a poor kid trying to fit in. And, you know, they say that your personality is totally developed by age 3. And self-esteem, honestly, is something you have or you don't have. And I think, you know, there's so many people that have so low self-esteem and there's really no reason. Do you know what I'm saying? And so it's like, you can't just build it up. And I think that maybe this kid just...
Well, I think you can build up self-esteem. I think you can. I think it takes a lot of hard work, but I think you can build up self-esteem. But I think this kid was a little bit of a psychopath, too. I really do.
Right.
I mean, I think that played a part of it. His immaturity played a part of it. It doesn't sound like he was hated at school.
No, from everything that I read, he seemed to be okay, but then he kind of started hanging out with the wrong kids, which, I mean, if you want to do drugs, you're not going to hang out with the kids that don't do drugs. You're going to hang out with the kids that do drugs.
But
and that doesn't necessarily make them bad kids, just makes them do drugs.
Right. People that hang out with bad kids usually don't kill their parents or anyone.
And a lot of times they're not bad kids. They're just kids that like to do drugs.
It's so sad.
I just cannot believe that it...
For and a can, party.
To have the party. That's the problem. Like to actually murder his parents. The Menendez brothers. I mean, at least they called the police, you know?
Right. Well, he wanted the party to go off as planned. I mean, if he would have
He didn't want the party interrupted.
Right. I mean,
he knew from his statements, he knew there was an incoming. Like, I'm going to have one more party because I'm going to go away, or I'm going to have a party because I'm going away for 60 years.
Right.
So he knew something was
I don't think it really dawned on him until after it all happened and everybody left to go to the other party that really didn't happen. I don't think he understood. I think he was living for the moment, and all he could think of was having this big party, and he had to get rid of the obstacle, as Professor said. He needed to get rid of that obstacle, which was his parents, and the only way to do it was to kill them, which...
The only thing that bothers me, he purposely waited for his older brother to go away to college, so this was something that...
He thought of for a while.
Yeah, he had been thinking of it.
And he really never seemed to be disciplined so hard.
I mean, his mother put him in the New Horizons, the mental facility.
Right.
And I guess kids don't see, but that is for love. I mean, you do that. You know what I mean? You're trying to get help for somebody because you love them.
Right.
And I'm sure a 17-year-old just thinks, well, that's stupid. I'm not going into that. You know, whatever. They get their cell phone taken away. They think they're dying.
Yeah, I see that. But I mean, I remember getting punished when I was younger for having parties. And it wasn't the end of the world type thing where I need to kill my mother because of it.
That's why I mean? I think that there's just something wrong inside. That's why I always struggle with, are you born evil or do you become evil? Like, is there circumstances that lead you to become evil? Because this child, obviously, he's got an older brother. The older brother was just fine. His dad, they didn't
the
beat
nature
him.
Or nurture.
They didn't,
no,
you know.
There's no reason. I mean, there's no evidence that they were beat or abused in any sort of way.
He did say once that his dad hit him in the chest. I mean, that's what he said.
That's what he said.
The kid said.
And the dad's not here for a rebuttal. I don't know. And he also said he had to take the drugs to be able to do it, to be able to kill his parents. So
correct.
I don't think that without the drugs, he probably would not have killed it. But I always thought ecstasy was that loving, makes you really lovey and all that kind of stuff. I never knew that it would make you violent.
And that's another thing. Maybe if he could have had all kinds of drugs in a system if he was on those prescription drugs. Maybe
yeah.
that had a counter
effect.
Well, I do
know
with
that, like the Celexa and all that kind of stuff, you're not supposed to even drink. It could have severe
reactions.
Thank you. Yeah. yeah.
So at my last, the last I could find is that he was, of course, appealing this. They were waiting to try to his defense attorney, Diamond Liddy. I love that name.
Diamond Liddy.
That's like a, sounds like a, you know,
it doesn't sound like a lawyer's name. That's
sounds
for
like
sure.
a girl dancer name, if
it
you know
does.
What I mean.
Hey.
Wink, wink. Hi, I'm Diamond Liddy.
Diamond Liddy. Gordon Liddy. That's what it reminds me of.
But it's L-I-T-T-Y.
Oh, Liddy.
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 Like kitty.
Gotcha.
Meow. That's all I got for you. It was a good one.
It was a good
that
one.
It was
very interesting. It's sad. It's sad all around. I find all these things sad for everybody. Everybody's the victim. And also,
he said to his friend, look around, there are signs. And that's what I meant earlier. I don't know. I just find that somebody had to see something, or should they have?
No. I mean, if you would have said, hey, I've got a party. My parents are going to be on vacation. And I saw that the cars were parked in the driveway. I just would have assumed maybe your older sibling took them to the airport or wherever they were going to go, or maybe they got a cab. I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
I mean, especially as a kid, you don't question.
No,
that.
You wouldn't.
Just
That's why I was just throwing myself back into high school, being at a party. I wouldn't even.
You don't even.
That wouldn't
it.
Even dawn on me. Yeah.
Yeah. You just, you know, you would just. You're just happy that you found somebody to buy whatever substance you were
beer
abusing
for,
that night.
So you don't have to use water for right. your beer pong.
Miller Lite, come on.
No, it was Busch Light.
Oh, I thought they said Miller
Lite. Miller Lite later. He wanted to drink with his friend. Busch Light is what he went to the gas station to buy.
Ugh.
Uh-huh. Ugh. Anyway, thanks for listening.
Thank you.
I hope you like that one. Please leave us any info on our social media, which is?
You can find us on Twitter. We're at Our True Crime Pod. Facebook. We're on Facebook. You can find us on, where else?
Blogspot.
OurTrueCrimePodcast.com. And you can email us, OurTrueCrimePodcast@gmail.com.
We would love to hear from you, especially if you're nice and tell us that you love us and want more and more. That'd be great.
And also, if you like us, like and subscribe to our podcast. Our episodes come out every Wednesday. And what else are we missing? Oh, and if you want to leave us
five stars.
We're going to have a big promotion coming up, and it's got something to do
You'll get
with
something
feedback.
Free.
So,
Free stuff.
So anyway, yeah, do all that, and we'll let you know about the contest next week.